We're holding page 148 in Shabbos, Oiskuf Tesayin, the beginning of Perek Misha Hechshech, Perek Avav Estrim, the 24th and last Perek of Shabbos. It's brought in Sfarim, by the way, that it's brought in it mentions in Yeshaya, the Kala, where it's 24 ornaments, so corresponding to that, since Shabbos is the Kala, therefore it's got 24 problems. Anyway, the beginning of the Perek talks about, so here we have first from the quotation from the Mishnah, Misha Hechshech Loi Baderech, a person who it became dark while he's on the road. So he's traveling on the road, and he's got his money bag and other valuables with him, and it's Shabbos, and what should he do with them? Noisin Kisei Loi Gechavim, he should give his money bag to a goy to carry for him. Normally, you wouldn't be allowed to do that, because you're normally a Amir Al-Akum, but in this case, the Gemara explains, that the Chum understood, a person is not going to be willing to set aside his money bag, and it's going to be over there, and then he's just going to have to put it off on the side, and he may never see it again. So if they don't give him some kind of heter, then he's going to end up actually doing Malacha Daraisa on Shabbos. So therefore, so they gave him a heter to do that. If there's no goy with him, then he puts it on his donkey. Again, even though, as the Gemara goes on to explain, normally you're not allowed to, there is a mitzvah in the Torah, you're not allowed to have an animal do work for you on Shabbos. This is, by the way, to give you an example, you know, you were asking the other day about, let's say, you're talking or doing other things like that, a business on Shabbos. It's not one of the 39 malachas, but it is a violation of Shabbos. The same way the Gemara establishes over here, it's a lava bomb we call Esther. The Torah tells us you have in the Dibra on Shabbos, Zohar, Siyam, Shabbos, the Kadshay, you have that you shouldn't do after Uvincha, Utecha, Uvehemtecha, that your animals should also rest on Shabbos. So that implies, in other words, that you can't have them do work for you, but it's not considered a lav. Because the Torah doesn't say that the Torah doesn't say you can't, that when it says lo sasako malacha, et cetera, behemtacha, that means, for example, you can't plow using your animal. But when the animal is carrying something that's called machamer, acha behemtai, so it's also on Shabbos. It isn't isur eser, but it's not a lav of Shabbos. Anyway, so if you don't have a goy, then again, the chachamim allowed you to be over on that isur of machamer, again, in order that you don't carry it yourself. So Vashal of the Gemara on Mishnah Zu, so the Gemara asks, Ein Sham Loi Ebkhavim Bolei Chamur Bolei Cheresh Shoit Vakat Mai. So first the Gemara goes into a whole discussion. What about if you have a Cheresh with you? He's not Chayiv in Mitzvahs. What if you have a cotton? What if you have a Cheresh and a cotton? Which one is it better to give it to? And the Gemara goes through all of that. Eventually, so now we get to, what if you don't have with you any of them? No goy, no donkey, no Cheresh Shoit Vakat. What should you do? Again, we can't expect the guy to leave his money bag on the side over there. So Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Oida Cheres Hoysa, so Rabbi Yitzchak says there is another possibility that you can do, but the Chachamim did not want to reveal it. So my Oida Cheres Hoysa, so what is this other thing? What is this other alternative? In a pinch, the Chachamim will allow you can carry it less than 4 amos at a time. But you're going to have to stop every time less than 4 amos so that you're not doing an Issa Daraisa. So why indeed did the Chacham did not want to reveal that? So, Mishum, as the Pasuk says, Kvoid of the Kim Haster Dover, it's the honor of Hashem to hide things, so you're allowed to hide things of Torah for the sake of the covet of Hashem, Uchvoid Malachim Chako Dover. On the other hand, the covet of kings is to investigate the matter, meaning Rashi says, when you're talking about the dignity of a person, even a king, don't think because of that you should hold back from investigating it. No, check it out fully and say openly whatever it is that needs to be said. So in this case, it would be it's covered for Hashem to not openly say what this is because that could lead people to accidentally carrying the full 4 amos on Shabbos. Marashah refers over here to something that he explains at the end of Erevin. In particular, he talks about over there, why does the Gemara bring the second half of the pasuk? The first half we understand. Why is it relevant to bring the second half of the pasuk? And so he explains that the Malachim over here actually, before he explains, differently than Rashi. The Malachim over here means the Chachamim, Man Malchi Rabbon. So it means when we have things Daraisa, yes, we should conceal them, and the Chachamim are not going to tell us the full thing. So for example, they're going to conceal this Halacha, so it's not well known to the public, so they don't come to be over on a Din Daraisa. On the other hand, when it comes to dinim derabanan, and we know suffik derabanan lekula, and there's all kinds of kulas that the chachamim built in to their zeiris, then go ahead and publicize them chakor davar, go investigate into them deeply, which the whole masechta Eruvin, for example, is basically on things derabanan. He tells about it at the end of Eruvin. So there, by all means, go and investigate it and let everybody know all the kulas that the chachamim made. Eruvin tchumen and shetufa and Eruvin chaseras and shetufa nevoyas and so on and so forth. Go ahead and publicize all the kulas that there are in there, because that would be kvod malachim. Mefoshim also point out that ultimately, I mean, so why is Rabbi Yitzchak telling it? And the answer is because at least it's not in a Mishnah, which then it would be more openly that everybody knows it. Eventually, people need to know it. And in fact, I think Ben Yehoyada says that itself is part of the covenant of Hashem. Don't think the Chachamim didn't think of that alternative. But ultimately, it's also the covenant of Hashem to not publicize it so much so people don't come to break Shabbos. Iyun Yaakov makes an interesting point that there's another reason. So we have lots of zeiros that the Chachamim made, and we never say that we hide something so that people don't come to be over on it. Why are we here? So first, let's actually continue. The Gemara continues. Dilma Asi Lasur Vahachem Ma'if Voida Lekim Eka. So what is the honor of Hashem that's involved over here? Dilma Asi Lasur Abam Espeshos Rabim. Because if you allow the person to carry it, if you tell the person they can carry it less than 4 amos at a time, they may accidentally come to carry it full 4 amos, and then they'd be over on the Issur Daraisa. So therefore, so it's kvod alakim to not inform people so openly of that alternative. So now, Iyun Yaakov points out an interesting thing. A medrash tells that one time a min asks, I think Rabbi Akiva, he says that you Jews say that Hashem keeps all the mitzvahs that He gave you. Mashu oiso imalachayim lasis. So how is it that if Hashem keeps Shabbos then? So how is it He makes rainfall, He makes all kinds of other things happen on Shabbos? And Rabbi Akiva answers him that it's like when a person carries around in his own chotzer, a person can carry in freely in his own chotzer. So the same way, the whole world is the chotzer of Hashem, and therefore he can do whatever he wants in there. There's a sicha actually where the Rebbe analyzes this and says, fine, that works as far as carrying. What about all the other malach? After all, you don't say you can do other malachas in your chotzer. And the gist of it is that from the point of view of Das Elyon, Einod Milavada, in the whole world, B'chlal has no mitzvahs, and therefore it's all part of Atzmus and Mahos anyway. But then on Shabbos, it's on a higher level, etc. Anyway, so the point is, so the answer that Akiva is giving this fellow amounts to saying that the whole world is like Hashem's 4 amos. So therefore, if a person would carry in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim 4 amos on Shabbos, then that's taking away from the covenant of Hashem. So you are allowed to do that. So then it doesn't show that Hashem is anything different than us. Therefore, it's more kvod alakin to make sure that people don't carry 4 amos more so than with other gzeiros dakonis derabanan. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanya. Now we learn in a brisa. Now we learned near the beginning of the Masechta, we had a little bit of in Ein Yaakov, most of it is actually just in the Gemara over there, that the Chachamim had made, there was a point when the Chachamim gathered together and made 18 Gzeiros. So the Gemara tells over there that they were visiting Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gordon, who was holed up in his attic. He was busy researching on Sefer Yechezkel and figuring out all the psukim in there that seemed to contradict things in Chumash, how to reconcile them. So while he was there, one time the Chachamim came to visit him, and at that point, Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel, and they voted on 18 halachas. They're called the Yud Ches Gavur. So the Gemara gives a whole list of them over there, and one of them is the din of our Mishnah, that Nosin Kisei L'Nachri that he gives his money bag to a goy or puts it on the animal, etc. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Rav Eliezer Omer Boy Bayon God Shu Sa'ar. Rabbi Eliezer says on that day when they made that takana, then they overfilled the saw. In other words, in those times when they measured grain or flour or whatever, there were two ways that you could measure it. You would take the grain or what have you and pour it into the measuring container. Then you could either, in some places they would leave it heaped up, that's called gedusha, and in other places they would then go and smooth out the top of it using a stick. So that's called gedusha and mechuka respectively. So Rabbi Yezah says on that day they overfilled the saw, meaning they filled it up very nicely. They filled it and overfilled it, meaning they did good. They made many gzeiros and takonis for the Jewish people, and this one was a good one as well. So he approves of that. By the way, Reb Nissen Goren says on the side of the Gemara that actually the Boi Vayom over here refers to what we know throughout Chas, Boi Vayom, on the day that they deposed Rabbi Gamliel and appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as Nasi. So apparently Reb Nissen understands that this Gzeira, maybe they originally made it in the Yud Chesed Aver and it didn't stick, and therefore they had to re-announce it then Boi Vayom, but most of the other Mephoshim understand that it means on the day of, on the day when they visited Hanani ben Chizki ben Goren. Anyway. So Rabbi Eliezer approves of it and says they overfilled the container and they did good by that. Rabbi Yeshua Imer Boibayim Mochusa. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says that on that day they undermeasured the sum, meaning like they flattened it out, like the way you'd flatten it out with the stick over there, meaning, Rabbi Yeshua says that they made too many gzeiros. People are not going to be able to do that because what are you going to have? A person who has a goyish, a traveling companion, is not going to necessarily going to trust him with his money bag. What if the goy takes it and runs off? So then he's going to say, instead of giving it to the goy, as the chachamim have said, better I should just carry it myself. And he's going to come to carry it. Dalat amas b'shusarabim. So in other words, Rashi explains, Rabbi Yeshua is saying, it would have been better for them to leave the measure overheaped rather than flattening it out, and therefore, in other words, making it that people are now more likely to inadvertently violate something in the Torah. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns that no, both of them are complementing what the Chachamim did. They're just using a different, let's continue in the Gemara, actually, and then we'll talk about what Tosfos and Maharsha say on it. So, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Moshel de Rabbi Eliezer Mahad Dagadoyim. When we say that Rabbi Eliezer says that Boi Vayin Godshu, and he's approving of what they did, what is it like with Kupa Malaya Kishu and Evluin? It's like when you have a basket full of cucumbers and pumpkins. Adam Noisen Lasercha Chargol, if a person puts mustard seeds into there, which are very tiny, the Himachzekis, it can fit them. There's plenty of room, there's plenty of space between the larger vegetables to be able to fit tiny little mustard seeds. So the same way, Rabbi Eliezer figures that it holds it, it can all fit. So the same way, the Chachamim added another Gzeira, which Rabbi Eliezer says fits very well and accomplishes its purpose. On the other hand, and in fact, by the way, Pesher Agabda points out, you know, why would you do that if you have a basket full of cucumbers or pumpkins? Why would you put in mustard seeds? He says, because that way it cushions the larger fruit. So in the same way, Rabbi Eliezer takes the view that the Chachamim cushioned the dinim daraisa by making all these zeros that I've done, including this one. On the other hand, Moshe de Rabbi Yeshua, Lamad Rabbi Dorma, what can we compare Rabbi Yeshua's viewpoint of it is, La Reva Malia Dvash. If you have a bowl full of honey, Nosim Aseichu Rimonim Va'agozim, if now you put pomegranates or nuts into the Himakia, then it'll spit out, in other words, all of the honey will all come pouring out from all sides, it won't fit the honey. The same way, Rabbi Yeshua figures, the Chachamim added this Zera, and they caused that now people are going to end up being over on the din, because again, he's not going to trust the goy, and he's going to end up carrying it himself. So that's the point of Rashi, that Rabbi Eliezer is complimenting them, and Rabbi Yeshua is criticizing them. Tosfos says no. Both of them agree that it was a good takana. The metaphor is that when we say about Rabbi Yeshua's metaphor involving the honey and the pomegranates and all is that you have there's honey in there as well as pomegranates and nuts and whatever, and honey keeps on pouring out the sides, but eventually it stabilizes at a particular level and then the honey stops flowing out. The same way over here, when the Chachamim said that you should give it to the goy, they also said don't carry it less than 4 amos at a time, unless, as Rabbi Yitzchak said, there's really no other alternative, and that way they're safeguarding the honor of Shabbos. So it comes out then that both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer are agreeing that it was a good gzera. Now Maharsha gives a whole other explanation. He says, we have many, many gzeiros and takonis of the Chachamim from throughout Jewish history. Why all of a sudden by this one is there this argument about whether it was good or not so good, or according to Tosfos that particularly they're complimenting this one, why more so than the other ones? For that matter, Maharsha says, how do we know this was the last of the 18 gzeiros? So he says, Most of the, all the other 18 Xeris is all the Chachamim are saying that something that previously was Mutter is now Osur, or that something that previously was Tahr is now Tomei, or whatever. That kind of thing. Of course, that's usually what a Xera is. But here, all of a sudden, we have something where the Chachamim are mentioning the Heter. They're using the expression, Nosin Kiser L'Nochri, rather than phrasing it that you should not carry it, Pachas, Pachas, Nidalad Amos. And in fact, Balaam Mar says something similar. He says that this is usually a Xera or a Takana of the Chachamim. They tell you what's Osir. Here they're telling you what's Mutter, and from it you're deducing what's Osir. That's an unusual way of phrasing it. Well, I mean, it was the Shammai who outvoted Basilil in this, but the point is, it's not a usual way of announcing a Xera. Usually you say, up until now you were doing such and such and it was fine, but now you should know from now on we're making a Xera that it's awesome. It's unusual to announce a Xera. You should now do such and such, and therefore, the inference is that that now you can't do the other thing. So there, everybody agreed that. Oh, so before that, the Shammai and the Silo, did they both agree? No, maybe not. I mean, the fact that they had to vote on it, the Pashto sounds like the Silo would have preferred that he carries it Pachas Pachas Medalad Amos. But, yeah. Anyway, so now the question is, they're saying, we're giving you a heter, give it to a good. And implicit in that is that, it's also to carry it less than 4 amos. Now, what happens? Suppose a person wants to do neither one. He's not going to give it to a goy. He's not going to carry it less than 4 amos. He'll wait there till after Shabbos. Tavoy ala brach. So Rabbi Eliezer therefore compares it to a heaped up measure. That they did the best possible thing. You can still put in the mustard seed over there. In other words, so again, the Chachamim said don't carry it 4 amos at a time. On the other hand, if you want, give it to a goy. But this way, you have the alternative. The Chachamim are leaving you open the alternative. Don't do either one. Instead, just wait there until after Shabbos and then continue, and then continue. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the way that the way the Xera was made, says Rabbi Yeshua, is that when they said noisin kisir l'nochri means you have to give it to the goy, and because they figured, because what's going to happen if you're going to try to be machmir on yourself and say, you know what, never mind giving it to the goy, I'll just wait here till after Shabbos. Eventually, you're going to think that you know what, I changed my mind. It's too dangerous to stay over here, and I can't find another goy that I trust or whatever, and he's going to end up carrying it. So therefore, Rabbi Yeshua criticizes the xeder that they made because now it doesn't leave room for a person to be machmir on himself should he choose to. So therefore, he compares it to the story with the bowl of honey, where the honey is inevitably going to spill out when you put more in. So that's why particularly with this Zeta, more than any other, then they have this kind of machlokes. Okay. Further on in the parak, there are a couple of mishnayos that talk about details of what you're allowed and not allowed to do in terms of preparing food for animals. One thing that it says in the Mishnah over there is you can't give food on Shabbos to animals that don't depend on you for their food. Only to pets or to your pets or your work animals, your farm animals or whatever that depend on you. This is, by the way, when it comes Shabbos Shira and you put out kasha or whatever it is for the birds, this is why it says it's brought to the post can bring, you have to put it out before Shabbos because the birds that are wandering around the streets over there, the pigeons don't depend on you for food, so you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos itself. Anyway. So one thing the Gemara mentions in that connection is that you're allowed to feed a dog on Shabbos because there's a nois of halacha because it depends on you for food. So in this connection,
even a strange dog.
Right. So Dorosh Rav Yonah Pisa de Benesia. So Rav Yonah gave the following Dorosha in front of the door of the Nasi's house. My dichtiv yedeya tzadik din dalim. Pasuk says in Mishlei, the tzaddik knows the judgment of the poor. Now, in the simple sense, it means, in other words, that he knows to give tzedakah to the poor. But, on the other hand, Maharsha points out, then why would the word be din? Tzaddik dalim, or something like that, why din? So therefore, we understand that it means something else. Yedeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bekelet, Hashem, who is the ultimate tzaddik, knows about the dog that he created the dog and knows how it works. Shem is a nois of mu'atim. He gets very little food because nobody has rachmanus to give dogs very much food. People don't usually need them very much. Therefore, Hashem made that the dog's food remains in its stomach for 3 days. So this way, it's able to. This way, it has a feeling of fullness for 3 days from what it last ate, and that way, it doesn't have such hunger pangs to have to go and look for more food. As in fact, we learn in the Mishnah in connection with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, suppose that an animal ate a piece of a mess. And of course, a kazayis from a mess would be matame. But once an animal ate it, let's say that an animal ate that piece of the mess, and then shortly afterwards it died. So we would say, if it's still on the animal's stomach and not digested, then it's still matame. In fact, you have halachas about it in Masechta Olos, to the effect that actually the animal's body doesn't even prevent the tumor from going out. So you have, let's say, for example, a dog ate a piece of a mess and then it dies inside a house. The house is going to be tummy. It's inside the dog. Doesn't matter. The dog's body doesn't prevent the tumor from going out. So how long can the piece of the mess be in the dog's, in the animal's stomach and not be, and the hey tummy, and it's still tummy, the kelev shloshi yom mess less, if it was a dog that ate it, then 3 full days, 72 hours, or the ophis of a dog, if it was a bird or a fish that ate it, it's only kadesh tippa la'uvati sarif, the amount of time that it would take, the size of a piece to fall into fire and be burnt, we consider that after that time it's been digested enough that now it's not metame anymore, because now it's not in its original form. So we see that Hashem makes it that a dog's food stays in its stomach and doesn't get fully digested for 3 full days, because Hashem has rachmanis on it, because of the fact that people don't look out for the dogs very much. So a stray dog, actually, I'm not so sure about. A dog that you own, definitely you're allowed to, but a stray dog, I'm not so sure about. So the Gemara continues. We see from this that we're saying that Hashem has rachmanus on the dog. It's the derech eretz thing to do to throw a piece of meat to a dog. And here we mean even a stray dog. Maybe not necessarily on Shabbos, but at least doing whether on Shabbos, that I think is a machlokes, it's a poskim, but at any rate, I'm doing weekdays, then yeah. Well, since Hashem has rachmanos on him, you should also. So v'kama, how much should you give him? Rav Mari, Meshach Udne, so Rav Mari says, give him a piece the size of his ear, the size of the dog's ear, v'chutra abasre, but follow it right up with a stick to beat it so it doesn't go and try to follow you and become your dog, because then you're going to end up, then you're going to end up having to spend a lot more on it. Panimili bedabra, and the Gemara says, now that applies only if it's out in the fields. Ava b'masaloi, but if it's in the city, don't even do that in the first place. If it's not your dog, you're also the misrach, because you have the same problem that's going to end up following you, at least in the field. In other words, it's a one-time thing that you meet up with this dog. In the city, the idea is you're going to be coming across this dog again and again, and soon enough, he's going to associate food with you, so even if you follow it up with a stick, he's still not necessarily going to get the hint, and he's still going to try to follow you and beg for food, and then you're going to end up wasting a lot of money on him. So the papa says in this connection, less the oni mikalba, there's no creature as poor as a dog, because we're saying even people, for the most part, don't have rachmanos on them, the less the osir mechazira, on the other hand, there's no one as rich as a pig, because it scavenges for food wherever it wants, and therefore it's always got plenty to eat. Ben Yehoyada talks about a couple of symbolisms of what the Gemara means with this expression. One is, he says, the dog is a symbol of the Persians. We find, in fact, that Kodesh, the first big king of Persia over there, his name, actually, it's brought in Spartan, means dog. So therefore, that's a symbol of their kingdom. On the other hand, the Chazir is a symbol of the Romans. They actually had one of their a legion that was named and that had a banner of a pig. But while they considered it to be a very honorable animal, and they used it as a name of some of their noble families. And while the Medrash says that the Romans are like a Chazir, that it says about Esau, for example, and the Romans who are his descendants, the same way as the Chazir lies over there with its feet sticking out and pretending to look unkosher, the same way they put on a good show of being the civilized, moral, and whatever people, and then really they're completely corrupt. Anyway, the point is, therefore, he says, so the Gemara is hinting at the fact, look at the Persians, they only had a very short time of world domination. Look how poor they are. They only had 52 years of ruling over the entire known world, whereas the Romans have had hundreds of years. So therefore, in that sense, like, there's nobody as poor as the dog, the poor Persians, who had such a short time, and there's nobody as rich as the pig-like Romans, who had such a long time. That's one thing he says. The other thing he says is, the dog represents the Baal Lashon Hara. The Gemara tells us in Psachim that a person who speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be thrown to the dogs. On the other hand, the Chazir, he says, has a positive connotation. It means somebody who's eager to do mitzvahs, especially tzedakah. We're going to have soon in the Gemara, we're going to have the expression Chazir on the mitzvahs, a person who's always running around to do mitzvahs. And the word Chazir comes from the same church. So therefore, the Gemara is hinting to us, there's nobody as poor and miserable and subject to so much punishment, min hashamayim, as the Baal Lashon Hara. On the other hand, there's no one who's as rich and deserving of so much reward from Hashem as the Chazir, the one who's running around and grabbing opportunities to do tzedakah. Okay. The Gemara goes on to talk about, since again, the Mishnah had talked about certain dinim of what you're allowed and not allowed to do in terms of preparing food for animals on Shabbos. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion about mixing bran with water or mixing various other kinds of things with water in order to feed the chickens or other kinds of animals. So the Gemara brings in that connection from the notebooks of a couple of the Chachamim. We know in those times, Torah Shabbat Peh wasn't allowed to be written down yet, but they were allowed to keep private notes of halachas that they would otherwise forget. So as Mara mentioned, they found they found in Levi's notebook, they found the din in this connection, they found in some of the other Chachamim. So now the Gemara digresses to talk about another notebook of one of the Chachamim where they found something which is a piece of Agantha. Kosei Wapin Kosei de Rabbi Yishur ben Levi. They found written in Rabbi Yishur ben Levi's notebook about the effects on a person of what day of the week he's born on. His characteristics are going to depend on the day of the week he's born on. Now all of these, we're not saying that's an absolute thing. It's basically in each of these cases he has a tendency towards this thing. The Gemara is going to discuss further on the question of yesh mazel or ein mazel Yisrael. But in any case, the point is, we're not saying that a person who was born on a particular day of the week is absolutely going to be like this, but he has a much stronger tendency towards it. So, Haiman de Bechad B'Shaba, a person who is born on Sunday, Yehei Gvar V'Lei Chodebe. He's going to be a person where there's not one of something in it. He's going to be something, meaning he's going to be a person who's complete in one middah. He's going to have only that middah and nothing of the other. So the Gemara asks, "My v'lechodabe." What do we mean by that? Ilema v'lechodel tivusa. Do we mean that he's going to be all bad and not have a shred of good in him? Which again, it wouldn't mean necessarily that he's destined to be a rosh, a tzaddik v'rosh v'kamer. But in other words, does it mean that he's destined to be a one-dimensional kind of person and not have any tendency towards good in him? No. Rav Ashi am nabachad b'shabah aboy. Rav Ashi says he was born on Sunday. So does it mean that he won't have any bad, he won't have any tendency to bad in him? No, Amaravashi, another Dimi Bar Kuzisa or Kakuzta having Bahad Bashaba. I and Dimi Bar Kuzisa or Kakuzta, whatever the Gemara says, we're both born on Sunday. Anam Melech, I became a king, meaning a Rosh Hashiva, but who have a Resh Gandhi? Meanwhile, this Dimi became the head of the local robbers. So we see. You have two people who were born on Sunday, and one is a complete tzaddik, and the other is a complete rasha. So that's what it means. Ela equal to the tibu, equal to the bishu. It means there's going to be either completely one or completely the other. No gray areas for such a person. My time of the Ibrubay Urbachosha. Why? Because light and darkness were created on the first day and they were separated. The light was only light, the darkness was only darkness. So symbolizing, therefore, a person who is born on that day is going to have that tendency to either be completely light or completely dark. In fact, Marisha refers to that when the Medrash says, when it says, Vayikra Lakim La Uryon Vilachosha Koraloila, that refers on a deeper level to Yaakov and Esav respectively. Now again, we know in Chassidus in particular, it talks about that Esav had tremendous potential in him. He had Oris to Toyu. He could have joined them with Yaakov's Kalim to Tikkun, and he would have become a very great person. But he had this tendency towards Choshech, which became actualized in him. So that's what we're saying over here. So, and Rashi also adds the point that, that Sunday is the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Therefore, a person who is born on that day is going to be somebody who's going to be a leader of some kind. Either like Rav Ashi, who's going to be a leader of the Chachamim, or like Dimi, who's going to be a leader of the Ganav. Anyway, Haiman de B'trei B'Shabbah, a person who is born on Monday, Yehei Gvar Ragzon, is going to be a person who is very prone to anger. My time, Mishum de Iflugu by Maya, because on that day, the waters were split. And in fact, Marsha brings from Medrash, on that day, Machloikos was created, all over the place in Sifrei Kabbalah and Chassidus, it talks about that Monday is associated with Gvura, and among other things that has to do with it, that comes down as Machloikos. You have, it talks about that Korach is sourced in that, has a source in that division. And so on and so forth. So therefore, such a person is also going to be that type of person, a person who's easily angered and a baal machlokes, or at least that he's going to have a tendency to that. Haiman de b'plos of the Shabbat, a person who was born on Tuesday, yeheg bar osir v'zanay, he's going to be rich and promiscuous. Yeheg, he'll be. My time, I'm from the Ivru be'asavim, because the grasses and the herbs were created on that day. So Rashi explains that these kinds of things, they grow very quickly, they're part of a rabba a great deal, so therefore the person has a tendency towards znus, which is just that, to spread himself around, so that's the idea of tritzus, of spreading out, so therefore he'll have that tendency, like the grasses, that'll be very rich and very easily able to spread out and dominate the people around him, and also very promiscuous. And Rashi says a second explanation is the grasses themselves grow in a mix. The Gemara actually mentions in Chulin that even though Hashem didn't tell the grasses Leminehu, they made a Kavachoyma for themselves, and each one came out Leminehu, but afterwards, different grasses grow together. You look at anybody's lawn, you'll have, a whole bunch of different grasses and herbs or whatever growing indiscriminately, so therefore, in that sense, this person is also going to be that kind of indiscriminate person. Maushab refers also to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that compares the fact that Nisan is the time when the grasses are growing, is also the time when the animals are mating. So we see that there's a connection between the creation of the grasses and the tendency to want to mate. But Pashtos can also mean, for example, again, given that each of these things is a midah that can be used for good or the opposite, but Pashtos, it means this can be the kind of person who has the tendency, that, like Rashi says, Duhun in Pritzus, he has the tendency to want to be an Ufarasta kind of person. He wants to spread out what he has to give the world in terms of Ruchness. Next, Haiman de Bedala Beshaba, a person is born on Wednesday, Yeheg Bachakin Benohi. He will be a person who's smart and nohir. Rashi explains that nohir means he'll be a zivson, meaning that he'll have like a glowing face. The Oruch says it means he'll have a good memory. My timer, Mishum de Itlu be Ma'oris, because on Wednesday is when Hashem set the luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars in the sky, and Torah Earth. The Torah is light, so therefore that represents that he's going to have the light and the wisdom of Torah. The brightness, right. Marsha also refers to the fact you have a pasuk that mentions those who learn Torah by maskilim, those who become wise in Torah will be kazoyah harapia, will be like the luminosity of the sky, and then katechavim la'olam vayed. So therefore, so that's the connection. Next. Haiman de Becham Sheva Shabbat, person is born on Thursday, Yehi Gvar Goymo Chasodim. It's going to be a person who's going to have a tendency to Gmilas Chasodim. My time, Mishum de Ivrube, Dogim Be Oifus, because the fish and the birds were created on that day. And Rashi explains, they don't have to work hard for their food. They're sustained with Hashem's Chesed. So therefore, a person born on that day has a tendency to Gmilas Chesed. Marshal gives another reason. The Gemara tells us, Rashi brings on the pasuk that Hashem gave them a special bracha on Thursday, and Yom Chamishi is the first time that we have a Baruch Oisim Alekim. So why? Because people catch a lot of the fish and the birds, so Hashem had to give them a special bracha that they shouldn't go extinct. So that means also that Hashem gave them that special Gemilas Chesed, and therefore a person who's born on that day has that tendency as well. Now, the same way as some of the other ones that we said can have, they're not such good tendencies that can be used for good purposes, here you have the other way around. We know this is looking as chesed de klipa after all. So again, tzadik v'rosh alo karma, just because the person has a tendency to be goymo chesed, doesn't mean he might not end up misusing that in the wrong way. But, yeah. Next, Haimand of Amale Shamsa, a person who's born on Friday, Yehid Bar Chazron, is going to be a person who's running after things. Chazron literally means like circulates around. Omer of Nachman Yitzchak, Chazron the mitzvahs means he's always going to be looking up for opportunities to do mitzvahs. Why? Because on Friday is when you're running around to do mitzvahs for Shabbos, so therefore a person who's born on that day has that tendency. In particular, by the way, we find now that I've mentioned in Tanya that many times in the Yerushalmi, the word mitzvah means tzedakah, particularly on that I've explained there why it is that tzedakah is called the mitzvah. So it may mean the same thing over here, particularly the person is a person who's going to have a tendency to want to run around and do tzedakah. Marshall says another point as well, that on Friday is when other medicine was created, and Hashem gave him the Sheva mitzvahs, or six of the seven mitzvahs, as the case may be. So therefore, so that's the first day that mitzvahs were given, and therefore this person has a tendency to be looking for opportunities to do mitzvahs. And the last one, Haiman de Shabsa Yehei, a person who was born on Shabbos, the Shabsa Yomus. He will also pass away on Shabbos, because they had to desecrate the great day of Shabbos for his birth. We learned earlier in the Masechta that there's a bunch of different things. When a baby is born, you do a bunch of different things that are normally still Shabbos, but you do them for the health of the mother and of the baby. So because Shabbos had to be desecrated when he was born, therefore Hashem arranges that he passes away on Shabbos as well. Omer Rav Barav Shila B'Kadisha Rabba Yisuri, he will be called a great holy person. Because Shabbos is a day of holiness, right? Hashem. Marshall says this actually goes together with the previous line, meaning we know there's lots of people who are born on Shabbos and don't die on Shabbos. And what it means is, in particular, if he's a tzaddik b'kaddish, and then a kaddish baruch hu mamalish nesayim shal tzaddikim miyom liyom, so therefore Hashem will arrange that he passes away on Shabbos. And that way, actually, what it will accomplish is that since, on the one hand, Shabbos had to be broken when he was born for him to be able to be born, to take care of him and his mother, in return, what's going to happen is, when he passes away, Shabbos is going to be shown to be holy. The same way as we had earlier in the Masechta, and we had a couple of days ago, that when a person passes away, there's very little you're allowed to do with the body on Shabbos, so that shows, that upholds the Kedusha of Shabbos, that even a great tzaddik has passed away, and you can't do anything with the body on Shabbos. So that upholds the Kedusha of Shabbos, and therefore that's an appropriate thing for a person who's a tzaddik and a kaddish like that. Nevertheless, other Mephoshim point out, you still can have, Hashem could decide for other reasons that it shouldn't happen. For example, Hashem may want the person should be able to have the honor of a bigger hesped. If he passes away on Shabbos, then you can't do a hesped on Shabbos, so therefore you're not going to have that. So Hashem may adjust things as necessary. Maushal, by the way, also refers to something that the Gemara tells us in Nida that says that Chassidim Harishonim would be careful not to have relations during the second half of the week, because that would come out, calculating the amount, the length of a typical pregnancy, that would make it more likely that the baby would be born on Shabbos, and they wanted to avoid that. Udiyu and Armasechta, in fact, Maushal refers to something we had over there that it said that if the Jewish people were to keep one Shabbos, were to keep two Shabbos, we would be taken out of Golos, and there's a different place where it says one Shabbos, so Marashah explains those two things go together. If you be like the Chassidim HaRishonim to make sure that one Shabbos is not broken for the birth of the baby, then the result is a second Shabbos will also be kept when the person will pass away in the middle of the week, rather than on Shabbos, and you won't have the issues that we're talking about over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Lehu Rav Chanina, when Rav Chanina heard that they had found this in Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's notebook, he told them, Puku imur le Bar Levoi, go tell Bar Levoi, which is Ben Levi, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Loi mazo yoim gerdim, ela mazo shah gerdim. It's not the mazo of the day that makes a big difference in what a person is going to be like, but rather the mazo of the hour that he was born under. And so we'll continue. We'll continue on Sunday, Bez Hashem, and we'll talk about that, and if all goes well, Bez Hashem will finish the Masechta. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ula, Chof Vav Sivan. The Rebbe talked about Nesicha, that when you're talking to another Yid about the Geula, you don't need to create something new by him. You don't need to create for him a new Rotzen to strengthen himself and to do things in order to bring about the morning of Geula. All you need to do is wake him up from his sleep. And then once you do that, then certainly every Yid will do what he needs to in order to bring the Geula, take it from Yad Mamash. halacha, continuing on the halachas of anos devarim. So we said yesterday that a person has to be careful with anos devarim, with hurting somebody else with words, especially if you said his wife, because women are more sensitive. So what is anos devarim? For example, you ask somebody, how much are you selling this for when you're not planning to buy it? So that would be you're giving him false hopes. He expects now to be able to sell it, and then it turns out you're disappointed. Another example would be that somebody comes to buy something and you refer him to somebody who doesn't in fact sell that kind of thing. So all you're doing is you're sending the guy on a wild goose chase. That would be another example of a anos devarim. Another example, these examples are all taken from the Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about this in him. The other person is Baal Teshuva. Don't tell him, remember what you used to do. If you saw him come on somebody else, Rahman al-Aslan, don't tell him like the way Eev's friends told him that they told him, Zachor namihu noki ovad. Remember, was there anybody who was innocent or was lost? In other words, they're telling him that you must have done something wrong, that therefore Hashem is punishing you. So that would also be included in anos devarim. Now they were saying that because after all, Eev was saying certain things that made it sound like he denies Hashem's hashgacha. But nevertheless, they still should have been more careful in the way they talked to him. At the end of Sefer Eev, in fact, Hashem tells them, you didn't speak to me properly the way Eev did. And the Gemara in Bava Basra explains, because Hashem didn't hold it against him so much what he said, because it was done in his pain and on the nitpas b'shas tzare. But they should have been more careful in how they say it to Eev. Al-Derech, like you have, there's a famous thing out there that the Friedrich had ever once told one time when he was at one of the sanatoriums that he went for his health. They had to give him a shot, and they cleaned the area very carefully with alcohol, and they sterilized the needle and so forth, and they explained, and he asks why, and they explained to him, because otherwise you're going to inject germs together with the shot, and you'll be worse off. And he said, from this you can learn a lesson in avodah. You're telling somebody off. You have to stick a needle in. You got to make sure that there's no extraneous things in there. Another example is you ask somebody at Dvar Chochma, don't turn to somebody else who doesn't know that particular thing and say, what's your opinion on that? Because then the guy's going to be embarrassed because how can he have an opinion? He has no idea of it. So all these kinds of things that cause tzar to another person, you wouldn't be allowed to do.